All right. What's up, Shroom fam? We got another episode of the Shroom podcast. Today we have Bobby Agar Boy, also known as Dope Event Setter Upper, setting up the Entheogen Expo coming up in San Diego. What's going on, Bobby? How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me, Andrew. Just, you know, ready for the event and ready to spread some news and happiness.
Of course, man. Of course. So I remember last year, Twisted Tree Melissa, she was like, hey, we're going to this event. We hope you could come out. It was the same week as Champs, though. So I was like, oh, man, I think I'm going to go to Champs this year. Champs ended up being a bust again. But so tell me, but this year we get to go. So I'm excited that we get to go. Before we get into the event, tell me a little bit about yourself. Just what got you into mycology. I think you do other things besides mycology too. So just give us a little rundown of yourself.
So I've always been, I've had a background of family that's always worked, kind of like in the fields or with plants and such. So I've always felt like I've had a green thumb, and that's kind of like my childhood growing up is just, you know, assisting with greens and pretty much, growing stuff. And then finally around 2018 is where I thought it'd be fun to experiment with some spores I had found on a trip to Mexico. We went to Michoacan and El Pilar, and my family's ranch, it has a natural oasis. So part of the season, it fills up like a little lake in Michoacan. And then for the dry season, it's gone. So it's just like this kind of wet, muddy marsh area. Long story short, I found mushrooms there, collected spores, you know, tried the mushrooms, and then brought the spores back. And it was like a year and a half, 2 years later when I put them to agar. And then I posted on the internet, found a group on Facebook. That group recommended me to go to Instagram. And it just has finally like started building a little network to a whole community that I didn't know existed. And now I'm here, hopefully gathering that community, bringing everyone together in person, rather than just through Facebook and Instagram. I love, you know, social media, but it's nice to meet someone, put their face to face. And yeah, mycology has been probably the past 2018 and now my biggest hobby for now. Now nice. Event curating, so it's just it's fun. It's fun to hang out with people and mushrooms.
Yeah, for sure, man. So what got you, so those spores that you got, like, were you already like thinking about mushrooms? Have you already tried mushrooms, or was it just something that you wanted to do to bring back and try out?
So my first substance in high school I've ever used was mushrooms. So I had a fascination with mushrooms since I was like maybe 12. It was the summer of freshman year. So I was around 12, 13. No, yeah, I was more than 13, 14. I was around 13, 14. And I tried mushrooms, and it was that what kind of opened up my mind to using cannabis and such. But sorry, I was getting, what was the question I kind of got?
No. So that's kind of like your first experience with mushrooms. And then when you saw these spores, was it something special about this mushroom that you wanted to bring back, or?
They were some of the biggest mushrooms and the first wild cubensis I've ever seen, like non-dehydrated, a fresh fruit. And it was, to me, something that was like an eye-opener, like, wow, I've been kind of paying for these when they're literally growing like on my family's cow, you know, little ranch. Yeah. And so I was like, all right, let me collect them. And then I ate some in Mexico, and we had like the whole family involved, and it was a fun time. And then it wasn't until like, a year and a half, 2 years later, where I was like, I have spores. Let me put them to agar. And the only reason I learned about agar was because I was working in a boba shop and we'd make desserts out of agar.
Yeah.
So I happened to have access to agar. And so I was like, let me make agar plates and put, you know, some spores to agar. And it worked. It started growing. I didn't know anything about isolation or what colony was the best. And so I was just having fun with it. And then I found Doc Dink Seeds, and he sent me spore syringes. And so I just put the spore syringes to grain. They grew very fast, and I grew these multi-spore tubs. Something I never recommend nowadays. Like I wouldn't ever tell anyone, hey, yeah, just spore straight to grain. Like back then it worked. Now I'm like totally against it. And it was just an odd experience how successful it was the first time. And now I'm like, how do I stop contam? Why are these tubs not being consistent? You know, what's the relative humidity in my room now? And back then it was just easy.
Just, yeah, that is weird. Now it's like such, people make it so much more complicated. But it, I mean, it is. So you grew those spores, you got those going, and then you kind of, it just kind of was like a snowball effect after that.
Yeah. And, I still have, they're probably like not the best anymore, but that ranch, it still produces fruit. So my family might have family out there, and occasionally they'll collect some mushrooms for me and dry them out. Like, we picked these like 6 months ago. I'm like, thank you. You know, like, generous of you. I appreciate that. And I have a little head stash of wild fruits in Mexico. And yeah, that mushroom is very sentimental to me. It was one of the first merchandise I produced, one of the first genetics I felt comfortable selling because I worked it. And so it was like a lot of experience and a lot of the first for me. It's kind of the opening fruit essentially for my whole experience cultivating wise.
Right. Have you made it back to Mexico since then?
Yeah, we visit once a year. We try to make it more than once a year. Last year, thankfully, I was able to visit twice. I had some time off on my birthday and then some time off of my partner's birthday. So we both went out there, and like I said, yeah, we found more mushrooms, of course, and I've got more fresh spores. So a lot of me wants to run those spores back to agar. Now I'm a bit more experienced in isolation, contamination, and cultivation in general. So it's like, now let's see what I could do with this hidden power or hidden spores, essentially.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm excited for, is just all the new stuff now that so many people are getting into it, and so many people are able to put more science behind everything. It just leaves the door open for more specialized, like, strains for specialized functions, you know? One of my goals is to get to Oaxaca and go have a nice trip out there and have a nice experience with some families out there. That's my next goal.
Oaxaca's nice. I'm actually wearing a shirt from Oaxaca right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Oaxaca's nice. It's no joke out there. I'm like, I go and we went to a mushroom ceremony, and they're like, here's 10 grams of mushrooms. I'm like, 10 grams? Like back then in high school, I was like, felt so cool eating 5 grams, you know, 4 grams, pushing it past an eighth.
Yeah.
And when they said it's a 10 gram ceremony, I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to take the mushroom hike option instead, because I'm not going to eat 10 grams right now, like in Mexico. And I just didn't plan for that, essentially. I was like, I could probably do an eighth and be comfortable. But they're like, no, it's a 10 gram ceremony. We sit with you. And I was like, yeah, that's a whole day commitment. I'm like, yeah, let's just go for the hike for the 3 hours, something I felt I would, you know, be able to handle an eighth in 3 hours. And have an afterglow for another 2-3 hours, but the 10 grams, I was like, yeah.
Maybe another humbled time.
My healthy ego a bit. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, no, that's probably a smart decision out there.
Beautiful experience, though.
Nice. Yeah, that's one thing. Once when I start planning that, I'll reach out to you to get some recommendations for sure.
Yeah, I'll be glad to join.
So about the event, let's talk a little bit more about that. So was last year the first year that you had it, or did you have an event prior to that?
That was the first event that I put together and essentially was the host of. Yeah. But I had assisted other events, just being a speaker and kind of being tied well with the SoCal network. I have had the privilege to, you know, kind of have creative freedom inviting people to an event. Unfortunately, that event was packed. Just the venue at the time, if anyone remembers, was led by someone out of the community in Colorado, and they kind of like was trying to purchase a spot in our community in SoCal. And they didn't approach me in a corporate way. It was more of like, hey, I'm novice. I want to learn. I want to have a space out there. So I assisted them. And he still isn't a corporate guy, but it was like an office space called Spread the Spores. And it was fun. At the time, it was fun. It was just, like I said, an office space. It was probably like 90 degrees in the office space. And I was like, I could, do something different with that. And then I went to the Oakland Hi-Fi events. And that's kind of where I was like, okay, these events are a lot different than the event I experienced, a lot different than Black Sessions. And so, yeah, last year was our first event where I curated it along with my two partners, Tatum and Adrian. And yeah, it was first one or second one is happening in a month from now, 30 days.
So was that on purpose to have it during champs?
Last year, no. This year, thankfully, we did plan to go to Las Vegas, and so we're like, let's do this 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks away from Las Vegas. Las Vegas this year is on a weekday, so it was easy
Okay,
to
so
plan around.
you, I see a lot of heady stuff that you post. So are you involved in that too?
I wouldn't say compared to a lot of the friends that are like, people that I look up to in the glass community, I'd say I'm still novice. Just because, yeah, some of their pieces are really up there. And hash isn't my only substance, so I don't trust myself anything more than like, 10K piece of glass on acid or mushrooms at a sesh. I'm like, yeah, no, I'll call it quits around like 3K. That's pushing it.
That's true. Yeah, shoot. If I'm
I
the same
try.
way with glass, like, yeah, the amount of times I break sunglasses, bro, it's like I'll break these things easily. So my first champs, I went in 2008. We lived in Vegas for a few years, and I was like looking at types of conventions that are in town. I was like, what the fuck? There's a glass convention? And I said, I gotta check this out. So I went over there and just went booth to booth. And I remember it being just so small, and like it was so much of like just entrepreneurs, like dudes like us that just wanted to go, had a product that wanted to go sell. And I miss that because now it's just all these smoke shops that are just pushing all this crap in your face, you know? But it used to be like really fun, man. It's kind of like now it's like the outskirts are all the like the kind of inventors and the people that bring their own stuff compared to like the smoke shops in the middle. But I definitely miss those days for sure.
I've yet to attend the champs. I did see it's like a variety of communities as well, but I'm not an investor, so I was like, it looked more investor kind of vibes to me compared to like Las Vegas, where I'm like, I could go buy a rig there and, keep it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want to go buy the whole booth. I just want to buy one piece.
Or
But that
invest. I'm
is,
like, yeah.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would say so. I think it used to be more like definitely smaller, but now it's just like the big dogs, and it's just like who's who, you know? But I do like the glass area that they still have in the middle, because that always brings it back for sure. But
Because it is
so
thrown by
Las Vegas,
glass, I
what's that?
thought it was thrown by like a group of glass artists, or cannabis,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's how it is definitely. I forgot the dude's name is I forgot the guy's name. But there's one dude, Dustin, who like runs that Official Genius, and he does a lot of the marketing and stuff. He runs a lot of it right now. So Las Vegas. So back to the event. So you have Alan Rockefeller on there. Like, for the second event you're having, that's pretty dope to have Alan Rockefeller on there, man.
Yeah, that was Alan's a busy guy, and thankfully for us he was able to attend. I have been in communication with him since our first event, and he unfortunately wasn't able to make that event. He was like barely flying in from Hawaii at the time, I think he said. So it was like overlapping a day or something, but thankfully I stayed in touch with him and since our first event and was able to, just keep asking a monthly, like, hey, what are you doing this date? What are you doing this date? He's like, just hit me up when it comes closer. And we got Alan, thankfully, and Joey Santor, which they're both pretty known. Crime pays, but Bonnie doesn't. And I have yet to meet Joey. Thankfully, I've met Alan at previous mushroom events. And that's kind of where I think I was able to at least start a bit of a connection with him and be like, hey, you know, this is my online entity, but I'm human and I want to stay in touch.
That's
So
what's up.
Alan's going to be there, Joey Santor, of course, Basidium. We love Basidium.
Bro,
He's awesome. So
hell yeah,
we got
man.
a
And I didn't
nice.
mean to leave any of it. I didn't mean to just say his name. I just meant his is
Oh,
more of
yeah, that's just a
like a
start.
big thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a tell me more about that Contrabando, because I've been seeing his name around, and I saw I know he's definitely big in Mexican heritage. So tell me a little bit about him.
So Contrabando is ran by pair or a partnered group out of Long Beach, I believe. And they are now like the president and vice president of the Long Beach Cactus Club. So they
Okay.
have, I believe it's a bi-weekly event, and that's kind of where I was able to, it's like a bi-weekly panel where they invite a guest speaker and it educates the group of Long Beach and any cactus collectors in that surrounding area. I had happened to visit LA once and I seen on Instagram that they were holding an event and I'm like, let's go. I told my friends, let's go. Like, just stop what we're doing. Let's go. And I went to my first cactus succulent plant event. And that's kind of where I got hooked. I was a supporter from them because they grow like more rare or less common species of succulents and cacti. And so I purchased some aerial carpets from him, like a 3-pack, and finally seen him in person in LA. And so we went to that event. That event did inspire me. He does focus a lot on Mesoamerican or like Chicano Hispanic heritage. And I really enjoy that being from the Coachella Valley. So Contrabando was probably one of my biggest influences on holding events, being able to highlight people of our background, ethnicity, or even like color. But they're thankfully joining us at this event. They're going to be there. They're going to have a nice display of plant selections and bring what they brought to their events to our events. And they'll be speaking. We'll be able to learn a lot more about them, both Nelson and William, and what they do for Contrabando and the Long Beach Cactus Club. But yeah, he has really nice art. Like you notice as well, you know, it's a Mesoamerican Hispanic kind of themed, and that's what I really enjoy. So we'll be having a lot of that in our entire event. Thankfully, being grown up in more of an ethnic background or Coachella Valley, where we have powwows about once a month and tamale festivals and such. So it's a nice mixture of backgrounds here, not only Native American, but you know, Mexican, Mesoamerican, however you might categorize it, it's a lot of Native American influence.
Definitely. So I knew I was always Mexican, obviously, because my grandpa's from Chihuahua and my dad's family's from the Oaxaca. I believe it's the Oaxaca, somewhere around there. Might be, but so I but when I bet my dad passed away, I was doing a lot more like digging in my DNA, found out I was 40% Native. So then I started going down my kind of path on, you know, why things were the way they were for me. So I'm starting to get more into cacti and more into our sacred plants. Mushrooms was kind of the first, obviously the first, but I'm definitely trying to get more involved in my roots and get more involved in, you know, what we were put here for. So I'm excited to kind of explore more at this event too. I think this event is more like I don't know, man. Like there's no other event like it, because it like after people saw that I was on your event, I started getting hit up by all these other like more corporate events, and I'm like, dude, like just this isn't really the type of stuff that I want to do. Like these are kind of the more events that I want to do, or it's more family run, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we want to claim ourselves being a grassroots group because we are bringing people from the Coachella Valley. We're trying to give back to not only our background but also our communities. We're inviting some artists from the Coachella Valley, I think I know the convention you're talking about. I was fortunately invited to that and was asked to speak on that. But just recently, since I released like my connections to the Entheogen Expo, I was uninvited. But from my understanding, they are going through our lineup and inviting everyone that I've created a connection with. And I love that because everyone I've created a connection with has some kind of talent, some kind of art, something in an interesting nature to draw attraction. So I love that for
Yeah.
the lineup I've
Yeah, you can't
created.
be mad
All
for
of these,
that. That's,
yeah, all these
yeah.
people are just
Gross,
talented. I'm
right?
like, hey,
Yeah.
cheat code. I put cheat codes out there, and if someone uses it, it's fine. I love that. I was a little bit bothered that I was uninvited, but if my friends can share and take that spotlight, that's better. There's no one better that would replace that than my friends and people
Yeah.
I've grown a connection with. And
And they're just gonna be like a part of you is with them. So it's like they're gonna multiply you probably by the more. You know what I mean?
yeah.
So it's like they're all touched by you, so they're gonna leave something behind. So
And I
no,
love
yeah,
that.
you
Like,
know.
part of me was bothered that I was uninvited, but I'm like, hey, they're reaching out to all my talented friends. Like, you guys are awesome. I'm like, you guys are great. I love you guys. And, there's more than my event that needs their knowledge and talents, and I can accept that. So it's a
Exactly.
bittersweet thing, only because I was uninvited. But hey, if like you want to invite my homies and get them involved, go for it. I, like you mentioned though, it is a little bit of a corporate event, so some people didn't like that. So I'm trying to keep my event from being corporate event. I'm like, let's keep the tickets accessible. Our first tickets were at 25, and we capped them off at $50, and we don't expect to ever charge more than that. We do have VIP tickets. Those do come with some products that we do purchase and some products that are donated by sponsors or people that just can't make it in general to our event. And they do love to ship in 100 stickers to give out to our VIP bags and such. So if it was in me to take, $100,000 from these corporate people, like I probably would.
Yeah.
But I don't see me getting trapped up in that right now. I love the
Yeah.
grassroots. I love being able to meet you and other people of my background, ethnicity, and share the same interests and probably even possibly sharing some of the same struggles. And it just makes me a little bit more comfortable being in that environment right now. And probably until the end of my days here, I just love it. I love my community. So,
Yeah. And that's
no.
so I'm not, I don't, I don't, I'm not hating on any groups or anyone that made any lists, but when I didn't make any of the lists for 2023, I was actually happy. I was like, you know what I was like, oh, good, man. I don't want my name to be, I want it to just, my stuff to be grassroots, organic. You know what I mean? I mean, if I do post ads, that's posting ads, whatever. People can hate on me for posting ads, but it's gonna, I'm targeting the people that are gonna like me anyways, or like what we're doing anyways. So it's just getting there a little bit quicker,
And the algorithm, it's pretty much like pay to be shown nowadays. Like
Yeah.
it's okay, because it's like it's Instagram and Facebook. It's like add a paid partner to this post. It looks like a paid advertisement. I'm like, no, it's just our event, banner.
Yeah.
And I think it happened to your brand when we posted, I think Twisted Tree Nursery. I was like saying add a partner brand. So Instagram is pretty much like, hey, give us money and we'll post your stuff and make it on the top of the algorithm. And so it's
Exactly.
acceptable and understandable if, someone puts anything into advertising, to me at least.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure, man. That was one thing that I figured out quickly, but then realized Instagram will also kick you off a couple times if you keep trying it. So you just
Yeah.
gotta keep fighting. Cool, man. So
Meta.
you're from the Coachella. Oh, go ahead.
And I was just saying the meta.
Oh yeah, whatever. But so that's kind of something else I want to talk about too, though. Just like how the mushroom circles are super, super small still. Like we still have a huge opportunity to reach out to a lot more people. So that's why it's important. Like everyone can eat right now, and everyone should be able to eat. So there shouldn't be any kind of like any sort of like holding your own or holding these, you know, little circles, you should definitely be expanding, like you said, for sure.
I see it as a opportunity for all of us. It's a pleasure for me to be able to kind of get this pedestal and be able to share time with it with people. I enjoy speaking. I kind of went to school to be like this politician, took debating classes. And so I was like always ready to speak, like really witty with it. And I was like, you know, I actually don't want to be like on the highlight the entire time. I can, you know, pop in and out, you know, host and speak about someone else's talent and introduce them. But I would like for people to learn from people I learn from. My mentors will always be a mentor to me, but it's always nice to see my friends become students of my other friends, essentially. And that's what I want to do at these events. So I'm like, can stand on stage speaking for 7 hours about what I do, but I'm like, nah, like, let's share this. So it makes me happy to be able to do that.
Definitely, man. Well, it makes us happy too. I'm kind of bummed that I'm going to be working and probably won't be able to hear a lot of the speakers. So it's going to be, I'm going to have to like tell my wife, hey, watch the booth for a little bit. I'm going to go listen to these guys.
Yeah. At our first events, I think that's something me and Miss Mush kind of ran into where we were like, who do we have to take care of our booth while we do everything else? Because we kind of do have to help set up the panel, speak, and essentially continue having the same direction of the event and make sure it's going, you know, smoothly. So this year we did prepare to have someone at our booths, like you're saying. So I recommend it, even if it's just like, you know, once every hour to come check on you and give you a break, it's a nice break.
Yeah, then I come back and everything's gone. I'm like, what the hell?
On a different table. So,
so you mentioned Miss Mush, and I forgot to mention. So tell me about Miss Mush. Tell me about her involvement in the event as well.
So I can start from the beginning of it. I met Miss Mush actually at Spread the Spores. We met there and then she reached out, was like, hey, you know, I actually have Iceberg I'd like to share with you. And so that was kind of the kindling of our relationship. And we started that and now it's like grown into this huge fire where her and I are just putting ideas and kind of bouncing off of each other and using those ideas to create this event. And I also do have another friend, Adrian. He's on Instagram as like Panacea Ascending, and he's the one that's tied well into the hash community. So he brings the hash end of the networking. Miss Mush brings a lot of the mushroom networking, and she's really well known in the community. This is right here, right there, Miss Mush. But she is, her and I were just, she would come down to our natural hot springs and we're just sitting there and we're like laughing one day, like, we should have an event. And then the next time she came down, we're like, so this event. And then we had Adrian with us soaking, and he's like, I can invite people to this event. We've been thinking about having an event, Adrian and I. So when all three of us were like, we all got some extra time on our hands for this event, we put the event together, started inviting people, and it worked out really well. We were connected with the Liftedville Gallery from Steve Funk Art. He's the owner, I believe, from Liftedville, and he was like, hey, I got a spot for you guys. He thankfully sponsored some of the payment for the event since he was the owner and he loved networking with us and seeing the community and people that we were tied to. He was like, that's interesting. I'd be glad to be part of that. So he helped us out, gave us a place essentially to have our first event. And then that's kind of where we're like, let's choose a date. And we just started reaching out to certain speakers and everyone started telling everyone, and it worked out really well. And cactus, mushroom, and hash all tied together. And my friend Christian, he actually was the one that put me on to the Packing Now, like Wachuma brews and such. And he was like the first person I actually seen use cactus as a medicine. And he would kind of show his garden off on the internet, and I was like I've never seen so many cactus in one spot besides like nopales, and I'm like, oh, you know, you just eat nopales. But when he had like this collection of packing nails and other succulents, I was like, okay, like, wow, this guy's actually been into this since he was 12, he said, or something. So he's had a collection, and he was one of the biggest influences on our cactus section. He's unfortunately not able to make it to this event. He is someone that I always will look up to and have at our events. So I really hope he can make our next one, because he's tied really well with the medicine, and he's able to kind of show that to the crowd really well as well. And I love what it does for
Nice.
me, and it looks like it's really well for him. So
That's
next
good. That's
event though.
awesome.
But this event we have a few other Huachumeros, like people that work with cacti, that will be there, including Contrabando. But theirs is mostly for display rather than consumption.
Right. Okay. Nice. Tell me about a little bit more of the hash section.
So the hash section will be curated by my friend Adrian, once again, Panacea Ascending. He is tied well with the glass community, so he reached out to a few folks that make hash, or hash washer is what they say. So he reached out to one of them. They'll be holding a workshop and giving a live presentation of how that you would press flower hash rosin off of a nugget of cannabis. So we'll be learning about that. And then he also invited a few hash vendors that will have hash essentially to try. I won't want to say like free hash bar, but it is essentially a hash bar if you're interested in product. And a lot of these vendors are happy to let you try their product. They are glad to show it off. So we'll have that. And then we are inviting some glass artists. One of our headliners, Jeff Patterson, actually is Jeff Glass Art on Instagram. He works with mushroom spores and spreading wood lover spores in his community. He's going to be speaking on more of an invasive Oviastata, it's hard to pronounce, fungi that grows out there, and how he kind of combats that with his like water gun and spores. And he just goes out and starts shooting water in the forest, and
Awesome.
that caught on really well. So he'll be speaking on that, but he will also be very knowledgeable in our glass. So we'll have some glass artists there as well. So glass,
Nice.
and we'll have a hidden room, and it's by the main stage. You walk into the employees only area, and then there's a mop room. And then there's like a bookshelf, like a random bookshelf with random stuff on it. And you open it, and there's like an entire bar area. And we'll be using that for our hash speakeasy. And so there will
Nice.
be hash vendors, hash washers, and glass collectors. And it'll essentially be the sesh area. So if you're trying to take a few dabs or get to mingle with other cannabis users, that would be the place. Yeah,
Nice.
smoking's allowed in the entire event, but we want it hot boxed in there.
Okay. That's what's up. This is gonna be fun. So if you're in the San Diego area, go to entheogenicexpo, is it dot com?
Yeah, entheogenexpo.com. And yeah.
Nice. So we'll hope to see everyone there. So where do you see, mushrooms in the next couple of years? Like in California and maybe like the United States, like what are your hopes and where do you think we're gonna be in probably in 2 years with mushrooms?
I'll actually get to that right now, but back to the website, Entheogen Expo, and I
Oh,
believe
yeah.
Shroomed, your name, will get everyone 15% off.
Oh,
But for
okay.
me, 15% off with Shroomed at checkout on the Entheogen Expo for tickets. Ticket prices are going up tonight, so hopefully they use any codes available. But for fungi, I do see it a bit. For me, it's kind of funny because we're seeing all these tests on Cubensis where some of them are testing high, some of them are testing low. So for someone to kind of think they're going to use that in a medical setting is a little off-putting, I'm sure, clinically, because it's not going to always be consistent compared to using a research chemical that 25 milligrams is going to be 25 milligrams, rather than being like,
Right.
we have to keep growing these apes and not go anything lower because the apes are working well. But then you grow like another batch of apes and environmental reasons, it might not be testing the same. So I think that's going to always be off-putting clinically. I'm sure they might be able to have some way of, you know, testing a dose and be like, all right, this time we're not going to give them an eighth. We're going to give them 2 grams because of the alkaloids present in this fruit. So for me, it's like kind of funny just to see where that's going to go, because it's kind of like they're wanting to use something that's from the wild. So it's not always going to be consistent compared to a research chemical. Right. I'm sure they have a way of figuring that out. But to me, it's kind of like that's what I'm looking forward to, seeing what they do to get the consistency out to their patients. But for me, I do feel there's a bit of interest being lost recently in the mushroom community. A lot of these investors wanted to invest, but then I spoke with a lot of the people in my network and they're like, yeah, we say we sell $200 pounds. So that these corporate people are like, how do we get our money back for this equipment, for this huge building? Like, how are we going to sell our pounds for 200 and get our money back or make a profit in general? And it's funny because I'm like, so are you not selling the pound for 200? Like where are these words coming from? And I also do hear people, I'm like, yeah, I heard someone sells $300 pounds in LA. I'm like, okay, well, give me 10. And they're like, all right, I'll get back to you. I'm like, yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Like, you're just kind of trying to get me to lower, you know, my market's prices. And so it's, I feel more of an imaginary supply demand that people are kind of pushing out there. I think the supply is always going to be there, but it won't ever reach demand, in my opinion. I'm sure there's people that are pushing out a lot of fruit, but as the days grow and people find out about psilocybin or fungi in general, the interest is growing by the day. So it's like when you're mixing tubs together, I'm sure there's thousands of people that are like, I might want a microdose tomorrow. Mothers and blue collar, you know, more corporate people are even. And I think it's going to be a community that's just starting. So if you think it's already getting like saturated, it's going to be a lot more saturated, I think, hopefully with people of interest as well. So not just like investing. And last year, I think, was just a nice year to invest into a new, I guess, company. And that's why we've seen a lot of fungi people popping up. But just this last, you know, month, I've seen so much equipment, so many tubs being sold, people selling their racks and such, pressure cookers. I'm like, I wish I didn't already have all this.
No one said it was going to be easy.
Yeah, exactly. And then also the labor. It's like, yeah, you have to pick up 5 pounds and move 105-pound bags, you know, from your autoclave to your shelf and then to your workbench. Like, just that alone is a lot of repetitive movement. So
I think people are just going to have to get more, I think, more creative too, and or focus on more of a product, focus more on, like, cause my whole thing was just always building my community. Like, that's what I wanted to do from day one, is just build the people around me. And I feel like the rest will come, you know what I mean? And you can help their community however you help them. But I think that there's definitely going to be a need of a shift to keep up with like these times that we're doing right now, to either have a product or have something finished to get to the consumer, you know, or else the bulk thing's just not going to be able, it's not going to, like you said, it could get to those prices, but it's going to be hard to maintain with those prices.
Yeah. And like you said, I have recently kind of took a lot of cultures off of my website instead of trying to add, like, at one point I was like, I want to have multiple cultures available. Now I'm recently just been focusing on sclerotia. And I feel this year is going to be the year where I hopefully will be putting out some sclerotia products for the community, for churches, and kind of get sclerotia more known on the recreational consumption level. Because
truffles, right?
Yeah, truffles. I know some people are like, it's not a truffle, but yeah, it's truffle, a magic truffle, but sclerotia essentially. And I feel there are a lot more ahead of us in places where they're already using these in Amsterdam. So it's nice to see a market for it. My recent batches where I did grow, people were like, what? Like, why are these mushrooms, these tampinenses, like little skinny noodle? It's like a small little skinny noodle once you dry it. So I think bag appeal isn't there for the fruiting body, but the sclerotia, I think it would be actually a interesting product to see. It's like kind of like a little bag of, like, I guess it looks like organs kind of when you vacuum seal them. It's like a little like organ looking thing inside of.
I've seen the ones that they have like in Amsterdam. They're just in little food packages or something. And like you said, they're vacuum sealed. So, and they do have a lot of different, like they're the more like they have varieties just like they have cubensis. It's crazy.
And
And
I think that's this year is where we're going to actually see people pushing out hybrids of Tampinensis, Mexicana, maybe even Natillensis, where we will hopefully start seeing people put names to them. I know it's a little outrageous for all the cubensis names nowadays, but I think it's finally going to be that time where the interest is being pushed out. People that have been growing these exotics a lot longer are going to be able to be like, hey, I've grown this multiple times, and I know that the characteristic or the phenotype of what I isolated is going to look different than the next guy's tampinensis. So I'm looking forward to maybe being able to name an exotic myself,
nice.
and looking at what people are putting out there, because I'm starting to see these nice hybrids between exotics, and I'm like, wow, that's actually a beautiful looking fruit. So I don't think cubensis are going to die off, but I think the interest towards other exotics are going to hopefully be also in the near future for the mushrooms in at least in America.
Yeah, no, I see that. It's just like how cannabis, you started with OG Kush, then you got everything else because people got bored, you know. But people do say, I mean, like, so what do you believe a cube is a cube? Like, where it's just all it is just potency, or do you think there's other factors in each of the mushroom or?
So part of me, it comes from my opinion, at least would come from like a ancestral biased opinion, but then there's also the scientific proof pointing that not all cubes are cubes. I was actually speaking with a friend about this, and we're going to put together a cube is not a cube table where we are inviting anyone growing cubensis at the day of the event is going to be asked to bring an eighth of fresh fruit, non-dehydrated fruit, and we're going to have an ID table showing all the different cubensis and all their different characteristics and essentially the different phenotypes that you can kind of get from a cubensis spore. There's albinos, leucicticus, there's short apes, and then there's squats, and then you have something like a teacher where it looks skinny and long. So it's like we want to actually show people that a cube is not a cube, especially with the recent testing. An eighth of Golden Teacher is not an eighth of like Enigma. And so we're barely, I think, looking in the iceberg of it. And cubensis are barely showing us what they can do for us. There's so many mutations coming out now. There's even, I'm not sure how real it is, but I've been seeing people post pink fruits. And I'm not sure if they're adding, red dye to their substrate. Like I've seen folks add to gourmet mushrooms. If you add dyes to oysters, 2 or 3 days later, it makes like this, it absorbs into the fruit and makes this beautiful looking fruit. So I'm not too sure if that's what they're doing to get pink albinos or pink cubes, but I think there's a lot more in the potential of cubensis right now. And I think, yeah, it's just cubes are not a cube. And at the
Yeah,
EndoGen Expo,
no.
we will have a table. Anyone that wants to bring some fresh fruit and contribute to the identification table of cubensis are, we're asking you to please do that. We'll have some nice gifts for anyone entering some fruit. If you want, you could probably bring some exotics. That'd be nice to have. But we are trying to highlight that a cube is not a cube at our event. And we'll hopefully be having some people that work with studying or that have at least collected data on cube testings and potency testings that will also hopefully be providing the information showing a cube is not a cube, besides the visual appearance on our table that we will be curating.
Anyone who doesn't think so will be exited.
Yeah, I'm like, man, you got me started. You got me started. Yeah, cube is not a cube in my opinion.
No, I don't think so. Cool, man. Well, Bobby, I'm excited for the event, man. I appreciate you sitting down and chatting. I want to also send you some stickers too, so we can add it to those goodie bags so that we can have some. But yeah, man, thanks for coming on the Shroom Podcast. I hope everyone who's listening that's from SoCal makes it out there. The event is, it is in San Diego, or it's near San Diego?
They will be in San Diego and Barrio Logan. The venue location will be put out, I believe, tomorrow with all of the other information on the event. But if you're looking into like hoteling and lodging already, the event will be called Wicked Warehouse, tied to Rebrew Spirites, alcohol beverage manufacturing company. So our venue is Wicked West, San Diego, and in the heart of Barrio Logan. So for anyone looking into staying and such or interested in checking it out, it will be Barrio Logan.
Well, I better book my ticket tonight before this podcast comes out.
Do it. I released the tickets and my Airbnb got booked, and it was like down the street. I was like, what? Oh, like, there's no way. That was too fast.
Shoot. Well, cool, man. Well, thank you again. Is there anything else you want to mention? What's your Instagram as well?
My Instagram, my personal Instagram is agarboy. Our events page is Entheogen Expo, and my partners that I am very happy to shout out are going to be Panacea Ascending and Miss Mush SoCal Labs. So it's like MMSC Labs. And yeah, don't forget, you shroomed at checkout. You'll get 15% off of your tickets, and we'll be glad to see everyone soon in sunny California.
Cool, man. Well, thank you, Bobby. You take care, man. Have a good day.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
For sure. There you go.